Yay Networks.
The great irony about the 2020 election is that it's the most attacked election in our history. And yet, there's no election in our history that we can be more certain of its results. To suppress the right of voters and subvert the electoral system itself, that means denying your right to vote and deciding whether your vote even counts. Starting now, they've emboldened violence and intimidation of voters and election officials. It's estimated that there are more than 300 election deniers on the ballot all across America.
Election deniers. Another label from this lunacy in charge, from the cadaver in chief. Another label. You've got anti-vaxxers who aren't really anti-vaxxers. Anti-vaxxers was a term that used to be used for these hippie weirdos who refuse to vaccinate anything at all, for anything at all. Stab yourself in the eye, refuse to get a tetanus shot. Kid comes down with rabies, refuse to get a rabies shot, you know. And now anti-vaxxers are anybody who doesn't want to have mRNA floating around in their system killing them. Election deniers, the newest label. Election deniers, anybody who doesn't believe that that dead guy standing on the stage, actually it's a sound stage, it's not even the actual White House, and sometimes it's not even the actual Joe Biden. Anyone who refuses to believe that that guy, the cadaver in chief, got 81 million votes, more votes than anyone in history, when he can actually get it out of his demented, Alzheimer's-ridden pie hole, more votes than anyone ever got in the history of the planet Earth. Is it Earth? Am I on Earth? No, Joe, you're not on Earth. You left Earth a long time ago. The last time the real Joe Biden was seen, he was calling people the N-word. Don't have that audio. Well, I have it, but I can't play it for you because it'll get us kicked off of three of our platforms. So the Democrats marshaled behind Stacey Abrams have determined that they're going to front load everything in the media with how long, how many days, weeks, months, or years it's going to take to figure out who wins in these battleground states. Will we know who wins in Texas? Oh yeah, we'll know that tomorrow. Will we know who wins in Louisiana, California, Nevada? We'll know that tomorrow. Will we know who wins in Pennsylvania? Yeah, give us a few weeks, because we don't know yet how many dead people we have to dig up and sign their names on ballots. We don't know how many mules we're going to need to stuff those ballots in boxes and then they pop up. We don't know how much we're going to have to bend the law and break it in order to count ballots that don't have postmarks, so nobody even knows whether they were cast before or after the election. See, we haven't figured out yet, because we can't possibly know, just how much we're going to have to steal. Now, sure, we could have container after container of pre-filled out votes with people's names on them, because we have the lists. I mean, they spent $300 million to buy the lists from Facebook and Twitter. We have the lists. You know, now, admittedly, they don't have they won't produce a list of the people who are actually eligible to vote in any state. But we have the list of all the people who are alive who we can put on these ballots. And then we have the list of all the people who are dead if we need them. But instead of just bringing in container loads of votes from China now and jamming them in the ballots now, that would be too obvious. We would get caught. So what we have to do, is, hey, Twitter, why don't you put out that to remember that it takes time, and we may not know for days or even weeks who won an election in Pennsylvania and Arizona and any of the other battleground states. We may not know for days or weeks how many votes we have to conjure up in order to in order to steal. I mean, we may have another water main break in Georgia. You know, we may need some kind of tomfoolery in Georgia in order to make sure that there's a runoff between Warnock and Walker. And then we could steal that runoff in December when nobody's paying attention to elections anymore because we've, you know, lumped another 14 apocalyptic problems on the American people. We may need that time in order to steal this election. So, you know, if you don't give us that time, then you're an election denier. And if you're an election denier, you're an ultra-MAGA Republican. And if you're an ultra-MAGA Republican, you're a terrorist. And you need to be removed from the planet. Has anybody even heard about the attempted assassination of one of the people who's running for Republican, as Republican for public office, 2 days ago? Anybody even heard about that? No, you haven't. It was only talked about on the Tucker Carlson show. No one else talked about it at all. The funny thing is the FBI went and got all the evidence and hasn't even begun investigating it. They don't investigate. They don't even care. It was one of the other side. It was this weaponized Department of Justice, this weaponized FBI. This, you know, is why I just keep talking over and over and over again about how it's good versus evil. How it's, if you don't believe in good and evil, believe in this. It's taxation without representation. When you're being taxed and your government is not representing you in any way whatsoever, they're only representing fringes and foreigners. Other sovereign nations are where all your money is going. That is taxation without representation. If you don't care about the fact that this is no longer right versus left, this is good versus evil. If you don't believe in the devil, if you don't believe in evil, if you don't believe in any of that, I know you believe in writing a check for your taxes. I know you believe in the fact that they take a whole lot of your money every year. If I can't get you to believe in any higher concepts, at least I can get you to look at your bank book and then sit back and think, does this government represent me? And I know there's two sides to that. I know that people on the left don't believe they're being represented either. So maybe that's where we find our commonality in this election season that's going to drag on for weeks. Here's what I'm predicting. I'm predicting the Republicans are going to take the House and the Senate. The Democrats are going to steal the Senate by one or two seats. They may end up with a majority in the Senate this time. I don't see how they can possibly steal both. But if they're willing to roll the dice on a potential civil war or a revolution, they can. But here's where we may finally find commonality as Americans, right and left. This government doesn't represent any of us anymore. If you're on the far left, if you're a member of some obscure gender that doesn't exist, that no one's ever heard of, you don't feel like the government represents you. If you're on the far right, if you're Alex Jones, you know damn good and well the government doesn't represent you. If you're kind of on the right, I'm not as far as Alex, but I'm pretty far. I know this government doesn't represent me. If you're mid-left, if you're, say, what we would have called a liberal 20 years ago, you know, you've had a few jugs of Kool-Aid, but you haven't had all of it. You know this government doesn't represent you. And if you're in the middle, the vast majority, the so-called deplorables, the people in flyover country, the people... You know damn good and well this government doesn't represent you. That's something we can all come together on. For once, that's something we can all come together on. No matter how far left you are, no matter how far right you are, and the vast majority of everybody in the middle somewhere, we all know the government doesn't represent us. And I'll go a little bit further. Most of us know that the government is our enemy. If you own a business, you know the government is your enemy. If you don't own a business, if you're on assistance, you know the government is your enemy. If you're retired and on Social Security, watching those checks shrink and watching those prices go up, you know the government is your enemy. If you're stinking rich, watching the government add more and more taxes to try and take everything you have all the way down to your very property, you know the government is your enemy. There is no denying that we have a vast, powerful, unelected bureaucracy running this government, pulling all the levers, pulling the levers for voting. That is the enemy of we the people. All they care about is continuing to grow their bureaucracy and this bloated, overweight, failing government. If you drive over a bridge, you know the government is your enemy because the bridges are falling apart. If you live under a bridge, you know the government is your enemy because you're living under a bridge. Military registrations are the lowest they've been in since the year after Vietnam. Why? The government has there's an unwritten pact between the government and the vast mass of the middle of Americans who do all the working and fighting and dying in wars. And the Democrats in particular, but really this entire government, because it's no longer Democrat versus Republican. It's not right versus left. I mean, it's good versus evil. This evil government has broken its promise. The promise is we will give you opportunity. We will allow you to have opportunity. We will not take it from you. We know you have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We will not overtly take all of the pursuit of happiness from you. We'll leave you with some. They've been stealing it and stealing it and stealing it for years. They've been overregulating, overtaxing, underperforming for decades. But they finally completely broke the promise. And the promise was, we will allow you your pursuit of happiness, but you give us our cannon fodder for our endless wars. This nation has been at war since it began. As a matter of fact, the only 4 years, and someone who's a history major, correct me on this, because I'm probably missing something, but the only 4 years, and I guarantee this in my lifetime, the only 4 years we haven't been at war was 2016 to 2020. Who was running the show then? It was the extreme MAGA Republicans. That's who was running the show then. The only time we haven't been allowing enough pursuit of happiness that the government can get away with taking your kids and sending them off to fight and die in another country for globalist business interests. Now you see. Now do you see? Are you blind? Are you willing to see why the globalists cannot have Trump back with him poised to announce a 2024 run? Why they cannot lose the Senate and the House, even though with a good executive, with a good president, the Senate and the House usually flip at midterms. But they can't. They can't let that happen. They can. They have to risk revolution. They have to risk civil war. They have to risk riots in the streets. There's a reason why a 10-foot-high wall went up around the Federal Reserve yesterday. Now, just because it says federal on it doesn't mean it's a government office. You know that, right? The Federal Reserve is not a government office. It is not part of our government. It is a private bank that runs our currency system. There's a reason why a 10-foot wall, there's a reason why those 20-foot walls have already gone up around every single building in Washington. They're going to piss off somebody really bad. Now, either they're going to piss off the far left, comically named Antifa when they're a bunch of fascists, or they're going to start a revolution with the middle and the right, but they know one way or another, and I think it's going to be with the right, because they cannot, they can't possibly maintain their power if they lose both houses of Congress. They can't. Joe Biden will be impeached. You know why he'll be impeached? I mean, you watch this Hunter Biden investigation and you see, oh, there's a new whistleblower. There's a new whistleblower saying that Joe Biden was absolutely 100% involved in setting up offshore businesses for Hunter Biden and his partners while he was vice president, which is a direct violation of federal law. There's no way Joe Biden doesn't get impeached and lose and get convicted, get impeached or removed from office if they don't hold both the Senate and the House, which, you know, the low-hanging fruit is in the Senate. I mean, they've already stolen that Georgia seat once. That's the reason Warnock is in it, is because they stole it in the runoff. And now they're saying that those, you know, Georgia may take a long time. And they're making up allegations that there's extreme MAGA Republicans who are white racists stopping black people from voting in Atlanta with no evidence whatsoever. No evidence. I know people in Atlanta. I actually called a couple of them. Like, you know what? They're not white people. Did you have a problem voting? No. No, I went down there. Talked to one of them this morning because it's election day. You'll hear this tomorrow. When they're still going to be counting. You know, I was going to talk to my producer about dropping the show on Thursday, and I thought, you know what, it's not going to really matter because we're not going to know who won any elections tomorrow. I mean, but the fact that we don't know means we do know. It means that we know that the left lost, and the reason why it's delayed is because they're having to come up with enough votes to win. When do we stop counting? Well, we stop counting when the people we want to win win. Who's the we? Who cares about who wins enough to lie about it and everything else? Well, that's your globalists. They can't have America having fair elections and going in the direction that Americans want to go in. Therefore, the war between the government and we the people. You think all this inflation just happened? It was driven by monetary policy designed to cause this inflation. You know where that monetary policy comes from? Well, I gave you a hint a minute ago. The building that just went up with the 10-foot walls around it, it's called the Federal Reserve, but it's not really federal, and it's not really a reserve. We have watched, using their cadaver-in-chief, their meat puppet, Joe Biden. If you go back and listen to my Afghanistan show, we have the tape of Barack Obama, who is out of the campaign trail like he's the president. You know why? Because he is. But you can go back and listen to the Afghanistan show a year ago and hear that tape of him saying how he would run his third term through a meat puppet, and that's exactly what he's doing. We have watched the systematic destruction of the American industry, American energy industry, of the American food industry, of our credit system. We have watched the systematic destruction of those three pillars of our society, because you got to have all three of them because they all run on each other. If you don't have petroleum, you don't have any way to fertilize the crops. You don't have any way to work the land. You don't have any way to move the food. If you don't have credit, farmers don't have any way to borrow against the crops that they're going to grow in order to buy the seeds, in order to buy the equipment, in order to maintain the farms, whatever else. And if you don't have credit, you don't have drilling money, you don't have refining money, you don't have, I mean, it's a circle. And we have watched through executive fiat. The first thing Biden did with those 132 executive orders was knock the knees out from under the petroleum industry, knock the knees out from under the farming industry, and then later on, knock the knees out from under the credit business with this inflation and then this Fed continuing to raise interest rates. They have to raise interest rates. You know why? Because they spent $6 trillion since Biden took office. And even when everyone said, we don't need another $2.5 trillion spending bill, he signs it anyway. When everyone said, every economist said, this is going to create rampant and hyperinflation, he signs it anyway, because that was the point from the beginning. For all of its flaws, for all of its failings, for all of its it's not what it was supposed to be, it's not what it used to be, the United States is still the biggest domino. You knock it down, the rest of the planet falls. And who does the rest of the planet fall to? The rest of the planet falls to the people who want a one-world government. They want the elites, and they want 90% eradication of the population, and the rest, because the elites need 10% of the population to do the work that'll remain to be done. It's a demonic, influenced group at the top. I've had my conspiracy theory people telling me this for years, and I've you know, for a long time I've held against saying that. I've hinted at it on this show, but there's really no denying it anymore. The leader of this world, the devil, is running the globalist elites, most of whom are so wealthy we don't even know their names. I'm talking about people who have bank that makes Elon Musk look like a pauper. And they are in turn in bed with the Democrat Party, China. I'm not really sure about Russia. I'm not really sure about Russia. When Putin says he's fighting the devil, I don't know. You know, maybe I believe him, maybe I don't. And that trickles down. You know, you've got, you know, the front man for all of it, George Soros, buying district attorney races all over the nation. Just like he bought the one in Houston, just like he bought the one in St. Louis, just like, in my opinion, he's bought the one in Dallas. Because at the ground level, the boots on the ground level, when you get down from that esoteric, you know, World Bank and WEF and Federal Reserve and all that, when you get down to the bottom level, which is where all of us live, unless you're a multi-billionaire, and I would argue that you still kind of live at the bottom level, where people actually buy food, pay taxes, go places. You know, this nationwide crime wave has been driven by Soros and his DAs that he's purchased, refusing to prosecute crimes or selectively prosecuting. You know, anybody who defends themselves gets prosecuted, but the criminal who attacked doesn't. I mean, this has been going on. This is so demoralizing to a nation. You know, we have a contract with our government. Our contract is, you guys keep us reasonably safe. You guys make it where that we can conduct business. You guys don't take away every possible pursuit of happiness. And this government has broken every single area of that contract they possibly can. It is them versus we the people. And it has been for a long time. It's just now it's so out in the open. And the divisions, oh my God, the divisions. You know, it's like, and I need to do a whole show on this, but, you know, they started out by dividing. It was the civil rights movement. It was blacks versus whites, but that had to happen because the civil rights are civil rights. They're for everybody. That had to happen. But I think the powers that be learned something in that. I think they learned that division was good. And so it stopped being, let's all come together. And it started being, okay, let's keep them divided. Because the civil rights movement worked, but they're continuing to stir up and continuing to try and drive the war between the races, not just blacks and whites, but now it's everybody. Everyone identifies, so you've got 5, 6, 7 different groups. Everyone identifies as something else, and everyone is against every other group. Well, that didn't quite do it, so then the attack was on the family. You know, you have no-fault divorces, you have abortion, you have all these attacks on the family. Well, that didn't quite do it, so then they went after men. And that didn't quite do it, so then they went after the very basis of your humanity. The first thing you learn after mama and dada, the first thing you learn is that there's boys and there's girls. And now we have 59 genders made up. So we have I can't even do the math on it, certainly not in my head, but you have a division between every single race. You have a division between men and women. You have the denial that there's a difference between men and women. Now you have 59 different genders, all of whom are different races, and you have all of them divided as well. So you have a fragmented or balkanized, if you want to use the $10 word, society. Is this stuff going on in China, Europe, Russia? I mean, maybe some in Europe. But do you think this stuff is going on in China? No. They've bought, you know, China's under the delusion that they're going to be the next superpower, and they're not. They're a pawn for the globalists also. So what is the answer? I always try to give an answer, and you know, at this point, I really don't have one. I don't have one at all. You know, by the time you hear this show, you will have already gotten out there and voted, or you will have said it doesn't matter and you didn't get out there and vote. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does. And with that, I'll talk to you next week.